The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Actually, it's not Rolien Marx. It is Ilana Chernik. She's standing in for Rolien while Rolien is on the speaking tour. And Ilanit is she's a journalist. She's a reporter and a breaking news editor for the Jerusalem Post. She joins us right now. And good afternoon. How are you, Ilanit?
Good afternoon. How are you, Kathy?
Very good, thank you. Good to speak to you. Ilanit, let's talk about Nakba Day, the protests and strikes in the Gaza Strip. When did they start?
Oh, it's been a little more peaceful than we were anticipating. It still hasn't been very peaceful, but a little bit more peaceful than we were all anticipating. Basically, so far, 50 Palestinians have been injured along the Gaza border. Basically, the Hamas basically closed all the schools, to allow children to come onto the border and to join the protests, which is quite shocking in its own right. We've had, lots and lots of incendiary balloons being sent into Israel from the Gaza border as well. Interestingly enough, that was part of the ceasefire agreement, that took place 2 weeks ago, just under 2 weeks ago, that the Hamas and PIJ and all those, other organizations would, not send in incendiary balloons. And here we are today and it hasn't stopped. And there's six very big fires burning on the Israeli side as we speak. So far, 400 dunams of wheat have been destroyed. There's a major forest called the Be'eri Forest, which is on fire as well. So not looking so good. On the West Bank side of things, basically some of the Arab MKs came out. There wasn't a huge amount of protests. There was a little bit of the Kalandia checkpoint, but nothing much. There was an event in Ramallah, and Ahmed Tibi basically came out guns blazing, saying that the Palestinians must not accept the peace deal with Trump and the United States and Israel, and they must reject it. So yeah, so interesting developments on that front. I mean, we're not surprised that they're saying that the peace deal must be rejected, but also that the fact that MKs, who are part of the Israeli government and part of the Israeli Knesset, have come out and like guns blazing, saying no, don't accept the deal, don't accept the deal of the century. So very interesting in that respect. Mm-hmm. So that's what's going on in the country right now.
Why would you just hold on? Two things. One, before we talk about the deal. There was talk a few months ago, in fact, it was the end of last year, when lots and lots of these incendiary balloons were going over. And Netanyahu stood up and he said that any money that is going from Israel to Gaza, they are going to withhold part of it for damages. What has happened with that? Did he ever follow through with that?
I don't think he's ever followed. If you want my honest opinion, I haven't heard anything on any follow up on that. And I don't think it's, you know, been followed through. I mean, we know what's happened with the terrorist money in the West Bank, but in that respect, I haven't heard anything with money going through to Gaza.
Okay.
I actually haven't. So I don't think that's actually been followed up. Maybe it will be now because, I mean, we've got huge fires burning on the Israeli side at the moment.
Sure.
Six massive fires is a pretty big thing. And apparently, like, they're a little bit overwhelming. And there's a lot going on, so I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see if Netanyahu keeps to that.
All right. The second thing that I wanted to ask you is, why would somebody reject a peace deal that you haven't seen yet? How do you know what's in the peace deal?
They already are saying that Trump is in Netanyahu's pocket. That the deal, even though Trump has said openly and Jared Kushner said it openly and Jason Greenblatt said it openly, they've all said it very, very, very openly that both sides are going to have to make major concessions and both sides are going to have to make major sacrifices. The Palestinians already have this idea that Trump and Bibi are good friends and whatever
comes out is going to
be in favor of the Israelis and not the Palestinians. So there's already that negativity. And to be completely frank, the Palestinians want the whole of Israel. It's not about just wanting the West Bank and the Gaza Strip.
Right.
Even
from
if
the
they
river
were
to the
90%
sea.
Of the West Bank, right. It would still be a no. You know, they want the whole of Israel. They want it to be a one state solution, not a two state solution. They don't see it as that. They want their land back. There was an interview, a very interesting interview that I actually read with, on Reuters, yesterday, last night, with a Palestinian fisherman. Whose family, when he was 6 years old, his family moved from Jaffa to Gaza. And he said that he wants his home back and he wants, you know, it's not about a two-state solution here. It's literally about the Palestinians wanting the whole of the state of Israel. So no matter what deal comes out, personally, I would support a two-state solution and I wish there could be a solution. I wish there could be a one-state solution where Arabs and Israelis could live together in peace, but at this stage of the game, I don't see that happening.
Well, when the Palestinians talk about a one-state solution, there's no Israelis in that.
There's no Israelis in that. Say from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
Right. The river being the Jordan, the sea being the Mediterranean, and okay, good. Now that we've clarified that, can we talk about the Temple Mount is going to be closed to Jews and tourists on Yom Yerushalayim, on Jerusalem Day? When is Jerusalem Day?
Jerusalem Day is June 1st. So basically what's happened is usually in general when Ramadan, the last few days of Ramadan usually fall at a specific period. And on those last few days of Ramadan, the Temple Mount is usually closed anyway to Jews and to tourists. You know, it's just a deal that they made with the Palestinian Authority and the Waqf in Jordan. That was how it's going to go. For the last few days of Ramadan, it's going to be closed. Unfortunately, the last few days of Ramadan actually fall over Yom Yerushalayim, over Jerusalem Day. So as much as a lot of the activists who are pro-going up to the Temple Mount, they sent a petition to the Supreme Court. They worked very hard to try and have it overturned. Yeah. However, the Israel police basically, and the Supreme Court have basically all said, it's not going to be safe. B, we've made this deal. We can't open the Temple Mount to Jews and to tourists during this period. This is how it's been for the last, since 67. We can't do that. It's not going to work. So interesting, also very interesting. I think people are very upset about it because, you know, it's a tradition on Jerusalem Day for activists to go up to the Temple Mount. You know, the line that was said in 1967 was Harabayit Bayadayim, Temple Mount is in our hands. So I think people feel very emotional and very upset about that they can't actually, they on the day that it's supposed to mark, they're not going to be able to go up to where Jerusalem was reunified and you know, but at the same time, I hear what they're saying. You know, it's a safety risk. It is a safety risk in many, and usually that's when the violence actually breaks out. There's usually every year, there's a solid amount of violence that actually happens on Temple Mount. And it's usually that period, that last bit of Ramadan. So, you know, they're not doing it, I think, to spite anybody. I think it's literally just for safety reasons and just to respect the deal that they made with the Waqf.
Okay. Let's talk about Australia and the Labour Party. We were going to talk about this yesterday. So we've got elections.
Okay, so Australian elections are coming up this weekend. And basically the Labour Party is literally 2% or two points above the Liberal Party, which is quite conservative. The Liberal Party is led by Scott Morrison. Scott Morrison is pretty pro-Israel. He openly in December recognized that Jerusalem, the West Jerusalem would be Israel, as Israel's capital. However, the Labour Party have come along and said if they win, they're going to reverse that decision. And this just comes after, just remember last month in April, they opened a trade and defense office in Jerusalem. So, you know, does that mean it's going to be closed? It's very interesting to see what kind of repercussions it's going to have, you know, because they are leading, the Labour Party is leading in the polls at the moment. So it's going to be interesting to see what repercussions that will have if they do come about and if they actually will stick to their idea and say, yep, we're going to rescind that. We're taking it away. We're reversing it. So that's going to be interesting to watch, and to keep our eyes very close on it. Because it could affect our relationship with Australia. It could affect Israel's relationship with Australia. So it's going to be a very interesting couple of weeks coming up to see if the Labour Party actually wins or not.
All right, and you will be there reporting for us. Ilana Chernik, thank you so much. Looking forward to speaking to you again tomorrow.
Looking forward to. Take care.
God bless. Bye-bye.